Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Well, as you take your seat, get your Bible ready. Hopefully you brought your Bible. You need to start bringing a Bible to this church. We're a Bible teaching church, and how are you ever going to learn if you don't bring a Bible? Start getting a Bible, bring it. You'll follow, you'll listen, you'll learn, you'll grow, you'll write in it, you'll make notes, you'll start to learn where all the books are and where everything's at. We're talking about keys for success, and of course, last week we talked about relationships. This week we're going to continue. There are three relationships we're talking about. Last week we talked about a very important relationship. In fact, the very most important relationship is the relationship that you have with God. If there's anything that every one of us ought to keep in mind, is that God is greater than you can ever imagine and even know about. What we know about God is small. What we think about God is small in comparison to who He really is. There's more to learn about God and a deeper relationship waiting for every one of us. And I don't care how many degrees you have and how great a theologian you are, how wonderful you preach, or how long you've been in ministry. I don't give a flip about that. What I do care about is all of us coming to an understanding that there's more about God than we'll ever probably ever understand here on this side of heaven. And so our relationship with God, we talked about last week on how to cause that relationship to grow in a great way. Second, part number two, where we're going today is a relationship with yourself. If you don't understand, oh, you got to hear me now, because I want you to hear this now. I want you to pay attention. If you don't understand who you are in Christ Jesus, then you will only be what you think you are or what someone told you you are, instead of understanding who you really are in Christ Jesus. I'm going to give you a little illustration of understanding that. When I first met Deborah, you know, she was in her late 20s. I was in my early 30s. And when we were dating, I asked the pastor of the church if I could take her out on a date. And when I took her out to dinner, we were going to be home by 8:30 that night. She lived in a house ministry. And so we were going to be home early, just have dinner and come back and talk our first date. And Deborah and I went out, and I'll never forget, Deborah couldn't look at me. Deborah carried her Bible with her on that first date. Deborah couldn't talk to me more than a small, quiet sentence, and she bit her nails most of the night that we were together. I thought to myself, this woman is incredibly insecure. This woman is incredibly fragile. What in the world is going on in her understanding? She had been brought up in the church all of her life. But she had had a concept of herself as never being anything, that God could never use her. She was unimportant, and she was probably using all of the failures of her life as an excuse for humility, when it really wasn't an excuse for humility. It's really an excuse. People who use the failures as humility is stupidity. And what we need to see is not what the church has taught us to be, but what God says we are. And there's a difference oftentimes in American churches to who you really are in Christ Jesus than what you think of yourself or what someone says about yourself. And until we come to the place of realizing who we really are, we'll never do what God wants us to do. We'll never be what God wants us to be. We'll never say what God wants us to say. We'll never go where God wants us to go until we realize that we have a confidence in who we are in Christ Jesus. Let me give you an illustration. I heard it about 1,000 years ago from another preacher, but I've never forgotten the illustration. A guy buys a ticket, and he's going to cross the Atlantic Ocean from England to New York, and he gets aboard a boat in the last century to make that trip because that was the only way you could get across the Atlantic. And about 3/4 of the way through the trip, a guy comes up to him and says, "You know, I've seen you on board, I've seen you on the decks walking around, but I never see you at the meals. How come you're not at the meals when we eat, you know, morning, noon, and night?" And the guy said, "Well, I couldn't afford a ticket that had meals attached to it. I I brought a whole bunch of cheese and crackers, and I've been going to my room by myself, and I've been eating the cheese and crackers until we get to New York. And he says, I just didn't have the money for it. The guy looked at him and said, you got to be kidding. When you bought a transportation ticket from England to New York, it included all of your meals on this boat. All of your meals were included, and you've been missing out eating cheese and crackers when you could have had a great meal. But because you didn't know that, you've been eating the cheese and crackers. And the bottom line to the story is, I believe in American churches all over America, there are people that are eating cheese and crackers because they don't know what God has done and will God do for them and who they are in Christ Jesus, and they only go so far with God, and they're eating cheese and crackers instead of the abundance that is already waiting for them, that which has already been paid for them in order to walk in. And until you know that, until you understand that, you will always stay a person that you're not sure whether or not you could ever go anywhere except where you're at. And you're not worthy to even be where you're at or to think that you could even be there. And you stay down and out and loser and a failure all of your life instead of the more than a conqueror that God has called you to be and paid the price for you to become. A lot of us are that way. So to understand who you really are makes all the difference in the world and where you're going. When you understand who you are, it makes all the difference in the world and what you're going to do. When you understand who you really are, it makes all the difference on where you will end up in life and your children's children, by understanding really who you are. And a relationship with yourself is what we're talking about, that is a godly relationship from the word of the Lord, what God says about who you are and what God wants to do for you and what God has already done for you will help you to go and be what God's called you to be. Without that understanding, you will sit back and say, God can't use me. I'm nothing. I'm a no person. I'm a zero activity. I just stay humble all my life. When in fact, humility is great, but guess what? Dependency is a better word than humility, because what humility really means in the Bible is you're dependent on Him to come through for you. So today, as we look at the word of the Lord, I want to share with you four areas as we understand who we are. Understanding who we are is very important for your future. So I don't want your minds to wander. I don't want you to daydream. I don't want you to think about where you're going to have lunch. And I don't want you to think about the people in their clothes in front of you or the people on the side of you or the noises or anything else. I want you to concentrate about who you are. Don't let yourself fall asleep. Don't let your mind go at rest. Don't be brain dead during this period of time, because it's really important. Important for yourself and your future. And may I say this, just like Kathy Giles that was introduced to you earlier, important for your children's children. As soon as you find out who you really are, Christ Jesus. Understanding who we are, number one, they all start with P today. First one is position. If you don't understand what kind of a position you have with God the Father, you will never ever attain to anything. That there is actually a position that you have with God. And the position that you have with God is called right standing, or we know the word to be better off as the word righteousness. That you, by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, has brought you into a position of right standing with the Father. And in that right standing is this word righteousness, which means that you have right standing. You are righteous before the Lord. You may say to yourself, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm still active in sin. I still mess around. I screw around all the time. I'm really not very spiritual at all. But I want you to hear me. Your position before the Lord, if you're born of the Spirit of God, now that's a big if. Well, take care of that if you're not by the end of this day. But listen closely. If you're born of the Spirit of God, then you are blood washed and you are bought by Jesus Christ. And I might mention this to you. Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and you're in Jesus, and because you're in Jesus, guess what? You're out of your sin, and you have now right standing with the Father. Without an understanding of that, we fail. In fact, the Bible says, let's take a look at it, 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, let's read it out loud. Notice what it says in verse number 21. For he, speaking of the Father, made him, speaking of the Son, who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. You never wonder why I went to the cross? It went to the cross to get you right with the Father. Why? So that your prayers could be answered. Why? So you could be a king's kid. Why? So you could have an inheritance. Why? So you could have a future. Why? So you're not beat around by a pillar to post from some devil on this planet. But God put you in the right position. And you now are the righteousness of God. Where? In Christ Jesus. Not yourself. So many times we look at ourselves and see ourselves as such failures. When spiritually, positionally, we're before the Lord. Now listen, along with righteousness, not only is this, listen to this, is the position, but there's also a practice. My job is to learn how to practice the position of being righteous. I don't do that all the time. I mess up, so do you. I screw up sometimes. I let the old nature come back in. Sometimes I make mistakes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? In other words, my practice oftentimes isn't as good as my position. My position is in Christ Jesus, but my practice kind of screwed up at times. And that's why we learn to love each other, care for each other, and stop judging each other until we learn how to practice what we are. Because the Bible says, remember this out of last Wednesday night, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. In other words, if I'm going to be transformed, it's all about my mind. I'm going to find out who I am, where I'm at. I know the position I am by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now all of a sudden, now my mind needs to be renewed in order for me to practice what I am. If I don't have a renewed mind, guess what will happen? I will practice the sin, the only thing that I know. I'll keep messing up, I'll keep screwing up, I'll keep doing the wrong things, and I'll be frustrated with myself, always making this kind of a statement, God could never use me because I'm nothing but a sinner. And you've got to remember that in Christ Jesus, He's forgiven your sins of past, He's forgiven your future sins, He's forgiven you, it's washed away. All you have to do is ask Him to forgive you and let Him what? Cleanse you, the Bible says. And remember that this is a process of getting from the position to practicing who I am. And if I don't practice who I am, then what I've done is I've become a religious person that just goes to church and listens to some song from the 1700s and someone runs through some ritual with me and some ceremony and then I leave and guess what? I'm a nothing and no wonder nobody does anything for Christ. All of us that are in here, we've got a position. And the position is a blood-bought position. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God sees you as a child of God. You are a king's kid. The king of eternity, listen to this, is your Father. And that means so much. Yes, you may mess up. Yes, you don't always practice it. But that's why you come to church, to learn how to practice what you are. Is anybody listening? Because if you don't learn this, you'll never do this, and you'll stay the way you are, thinking you're a loser, and that's what the devil wants, so that you never become anything that can do anything. You're just a person sitting in a seat instead of somebody that's changing the world around them. Is anybody listening? Because we're talking about a very important thing. It's really important for all of us to understanding who we are. Number one is position. Number two, understanding who we are. I love it starts with a P also, and it's price. In other words, you need to, and so do I, every day remember that Jesus Christ paid a price for me, which establishes my value. Everything that has any value, its value is determined by the price that it was paid for it. You could say to yourself right now, well, my home is worth $800,000 and try to sell it for $800,000, but there's only people that'll pay for $300,000 of your home. Your home is only valued at $800,000 in your mind, but it's only $300,000 worth of value because the price that someone will pay for it establishes the value. And have you ever thought about the price that was paid for you? Oh, listen to what I'm going to say to you. It wasn't a bag of diamonds. It wasn't a blocks of gold. The price that pays for you wasn't some kind of a pearl that is given from the sea. A price that was paid for you wasn't a universe or a bunch of planets. The price that was paid for you was the greatest price that's ever been paid for anything in the world. And guess what it was? It was God Himself. Put a price on that thing. And that act, there was absolutely something that takes place. God took a nobody in the midst of their sin and He placed a value on them, but all of a sudden you become the most valuable commodity on the world. Can you imagine that? Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I live this kind of a life, and I'm just common. I'm just normal. Oh no, you need to stop thinking that way. You're eating crackers and cheese. You need to realize that you have a value, and the value was established by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't care what your daddy said about you. I don't care what your uncle did to you when you were 11. I don't care what your siblings said about you. I don't care what the school teacher said about you. I don't care what kind of grades. You ever see this? It has nothing to do with grades. Have you ever seen that in the Bible? I don't care what kind of grades you said. I don't care what the sergeant said about you. It's about the fact that Jesus went to the cross and paid the highest price in the world for you. You are the most wealthy people on the planet. And without an understanding of that, you fail. Just see yourself as someone bumping along in life and whatever. My dad was that way. My mom was that way. My uncles are that way. My aunts are that way. It just kind of runs in my bloodline. I want you to know something. You got a new family when you got, and there's a new spiritual DNA right now. And the price that's paid for you, oh my goodness sakes alive, was the greatest price in the world that anybody could pay for you. You are the most valuable. I don't care what men say. I don't care what people say. I don't care what anybody says. Jesus says you're the most valuable commodity on the planet. And the Bible makes a statement out of Romans. It's kind of interesting. In the 5th chapter, verse number 6. If you got your Bible, go there with me. And Romans, the 5th chapter, verse number 6, says these words. Listen to the words. For when we were still without strength, one translation says it like this. When we were yet sinners. Anybody got that translation? It's the old King James. When we were yet sinners. In other words, you didn't have any strength. You were in your sin. You had no value. Listen. You had no value. You were a nothing, nobody, going nowhere. A person no one ever knew. You were a nobody to nobody. Nothing ever cared. You were destined for hell and didn't even mind going there. You didn't know it. He says this, when you were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. In other words, He established your value. Can you imagine such a thing? Can you imagine such a thing? You've established your value based on your education. You've established your value based on your color. You've established your value based on your ability. You established your value based on your talent. You established your value based on whether or not you can perform in this area or not perform. And it's nothing to do with that at all. Your value was established on that cross of Jesus Christ. Oh, man, at Calvary. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. I like what it says in 2 Corinthians. Go there with me real quick in the 8th chapter, verse number 9. In 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, let's take a look at it. In 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, let's take a look at verse number 9. And it says these words, listen to this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, don't you know He was? Stop and look at me for a moment. For though He was rich, don't you know He was? The streets in heaven are paved with gold. God takes gold and uses it as asphalt. The Bible says the gates, listen, the pillars that hold are made up of pearl, 1,500 feet higher, 1,500 miles high. I mean, you got to be kidding me. What kind of an oyster does that come out of? You talk about speaking and trillions of angels responding. He's rich. There's no lack in heaven. Though he was rich, yet for your sake. Now here's what I want you to do. Stop right there. I want you to point to yourself and say, my sake. What? Point to yourself. Now, well, if you're going to come to this church, you're going to have to follow me. I'm going somewhere. So are you going to sit there and say, I ain't going? Then go find another church. You want someone to lead you or not? So let's do this. I want you to get your finger, point at yourself and say, my sake. My sake. All right, now watch this. Now let's read it that way. For he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor. That through his poverty, that's when he took on becoming a man. Through his poverty, and the real translation is that we might become rich. Now, I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about stupid stuff like that. Rich is, I'm rich in him. I got him. I got, rich is when your kids are serving the Lord. Rich is when your wife looks at you at 65 and says, you're better looking today than you were when I married. Oh, now, girl, you got bad eyes or this is a God thing. You understand what I'm saying? You know, rich is when your kids are worshiping the Lord and they love God. Rich is when your business is working and you get to give and build the kingdom of God. Rich is when you know when the politicians fail, your God hasn't. You're at peace. When the economy is screwed up, you know your God's economy isn't screwed up. You understand what I'm saying now? You know, when CNN says one thing and Fox News says another, and you say, I don't give a flip, I got Jesus. Now you're rich. When your grandkids come up and they're caught in their room and they're only 7 years old, they're reading their Bible at seven, the mom walks in and says, what are you doing? He says, I'm reading my Bible. I'm getting ready to preach. You know you're rich. I'm not talking about money. Money, God's not against you having money. And let me tell you that right now. That's not a problem, but that's not the wealth he's talking about up there. And he did all of that for, point at yourself, my sake. Everybody say, my sake. My sake. Is that a bizarre thing? So all of a sudden, we establish a tremendous, tremendous truth. Here's number one, your position. You got to understand who you are. Your position is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Number two, there's a value in your life because God paid the highest price he could ever pay for you. Number three, wouldn't it be sad that he gives you a value? Wouldn't it be sad that he gives you a position and doesn't give you the power to back it up? I mean, wouldn't it be terrible if I told you to do something and then I knew you couldn't do it and I just sat back and laughed and I said, what a bunch of stupid people trying to do that thing, man. I told them to do it. They can't do that. God's not a trickster or a joker. When God says that he wants you to walk in not only your position, and he wants you to live out life by practicing his word and to live out the life in the wise way of wisdom, when it comes to the wealth that you have, he gives you the power to maintain it. And that's number three, power. Without power, you don't ever get anything done. And a lot of people are still eating crackers and cheese, are thinking of themselves in some religious way, calling it humility, when it's really foolishness, ignorance, instead of who we really are in Christ Jesus. I don't think you should be arrogant. Of course not. I'm not talking about being prideful in yourself. That's what that's directed. I'm talking about being excited and alive and knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. There's a difference. And this power that he gives us is greater than any power that's on this planet. In other words, there's nothing on this planet that can keep me away from my position. Nothing on this planet that can keep me away from my wealth, because the Bible makes it very clear that he's empowered me with his Holy Spirit. And if you're born of the Spirit of God, you are, and you might as well understand this, you may not feel like it, you may not look like it, but you are wall to wall Holy Spirit. Inside of you lives God, and God's help will help you to get the job done. So when you make a request to the people, God doesn't sit back and laugh. He knows, and he says, I've not only told you what to do, but now I've empowered you to do it. So you can live this kind of life. You know what that means? That means there's nothing in a Christian's life you can't overcome. There's no drugs. There's no perversion. There's no pornography, there's no alcoholism, there's no temper, there's no anger, there's no generational curses that have been passed from generation to generation. That greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And so when we make a mistake, I just can't do it, that's the biggest mistake you ever said, because what you're doing is you're trying to do it in your own power instead of the power of God that lives on the inside of you. And you can do the very best you can with your power, but it's God's power that's going to make it work. Look what it says in 1 John 4:4. Just pop it up on the overhead. You are of God, little children. Oh, amen. And have overcome them. The word them is a fascinating word. If you read the verses before and the verses afterwards, anything in the world. You have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. In other words, the God that's in you is greater than the devil. Greater than your emotions, your feelings, and your desires. If you'll just get with God and release the Holy Spirit to help fight your battles for you. And get off yourself, cast down those imaginations, and bring your thinking back to the things of God and stay there, you win. Bottom line, I didn't say that. God said that. He who is in you, can you imagine that? See, a lot of times you see yourself, and you see yourself as a massive failure. I wasn't very smart in school. I guess I can't go very far. I guess I can just, you know, live the rest of my life working for somebody else. I never have my own business. I guess I'm just not smart enough. I guess I don't have the guts to take the chance or the risk. I'm not telling you to start your own business. Maybe you're the best employee in the world instead of being an employer. I don't know that I could ever be the best. Oh, why can't you? You've got the power of God on the inside. The only limits to the power of God that's on the inside of you is what you think. And that was Deborah's problem, who now becomes this world-class minister, probably one of the greatest Bible teachers on the planet today. The only reason she's not going around the world on a constant basis is because her husband loves her and wants to be near her and likes looking at her and doesn't like sleeping by himself kissing her pillow while she's in Zambia preaching to somebody. And let me tell you something, guys. That's what this is all about, power. So God gives you the position. God gives you the price or the value. And God gives you the power. What for? So that you can have a purpose. And life without a purpose is no life at all. Here's what life without a purpose does. It just gets by. It does what it needs to do. It fits into society. It finds its fulfillments in shallow things. And it never produces anything except self-awareness. And life without a purpose is a life that just gets by. But when you have a purpose, you have a destiny, and you have a reason to live on this planet. And my goodness sakes alive, he didn't pay that price for you and give you that value. He didn't establish your worth and your position with him. And he didn't give you the power for you to sit around and be nothing. You are here to serve the Lord. and to let a lost and dying generation know their hero is not somebody on a basketball court, but their hero, his name is Jesus. You become the mouth. You become his arms, and you become his legs, and you become his back, and you become the distributor of his goods and services. You are the West Coast distributor of God's goodness, and until you know that, you distribute it on the job, you distribute it with your neighbors, and hard as it may be, you're distributing it with your relatives. Until you know that, you will do nothing but just get by. Go to church and sing a song or two, tell the pastor how good he preached, that meant nothing to you, and you'll walk out of there and wonder why life is empty. But you were created for a purpose. You have a destiny and a reason why you're on this planet, a reason why I went to the cross besides going to heaven, to equip the saints of God to do the work of the ministry, Ephesians 4 says. It's powerful. I like this verse. It's one of Deborah's and I favorite verses. I'll just pop it up. Joshua, last chapter of Joshua, chapter 24, verse number 15 says these words. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day. You know, everything's a choice. I should have highlighted the word choose. You're going to choose in your life what you're going to do with your life. You're going to eat cheese and crackers for the rest of your life because you choose to eat cheese and crackers. That's right. There's no message I can preach. There's nothing I can do. There's no dance I can dance to get you to see anything except you've got to see it yourself. It's your choice, not mine. It's your choice, not your husband or your wife's. It's your choice whether you'll serve God or not. But choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your father served on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites, that means the gods of this world, is what he's just said. In the land in which you dwell, where you dwell right now, there's a lot of gods out there that want you to follow them. I'm not talking about spiritual gods. I'm talking about politicians. I'm talking about society, social system, the thinking that's out there instead of the things of God. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's the purpose. You will serve God with your kids. You'll serve God with your wife, your husband. You'll serve God. You'll serve God in your neighborhood. You'll serve God on the job. You'll serve God when you get dressed to become the best employee or employer there is. You're serving God. Every day when you get up and put your pants on, you don't put them on for yourself. You put them on because today I'm getting up and I'm going to serve God today. And God gives you a long drive into town where you can listen to Christian worship and praise and the Word of God. So by the time you get to where you're going, man, you are turned on. That's what this is all about. So today it's your choice. Who will you serve? You'll either serve yourself, serve this world, serve the ideologies and philosophies of man, or you will serve God. And only you can make that choice. But for those that have made that choice, that are born of the Spirit of God, you got to see yourself as God sees you. You need to understand who you are. Number one, you have a position. I don't care what you act like, you're learning how to change the action, the practice, because of your position is righteous in Christ Jesus. Number two, there's a price that's been paid for you. You have value. You're not a loser. The world calls you a loser. You'll never make it. You'll never change. I say baloney. God can change anybody and anything. Why? Because you got number three, too. You know what that is? The power. Power to change, the power to believe, the power to say to yourself, all things are possible to him that believes. Nothing's impossible to me. I can do all things where? Through Christ that strengthens me. You got the power that brings you to the purpose. And if you don't understand about this, then go ahead and keep eating cheese and crackers for the rest of your life. It's your call. Go ahead and be down and out, discouraged and frustrated, and never see yourself as anybody that can do anything. I promise you, at the end of your life, you'll never do anything. And I don't give a flip if you win the lotto. Even with all the money you have, you'll end up a loser, as they almost all have. Because without Christ, there is no purpose. If God spoke to you today, give the Lord a great big praise, will you? Woo, glory to God. Isn't God good?
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.